Hey guys, it's the Goat Podcast. This week, I will be your host, Monica Teske, with my dog, Cooper Teske, popping in occasionally as my co-host, I'm sure. So we're going to continue talking about our NFL draft coverage, but before I get into that, because this week, podcast is mine, I want to congratulate the Alabama Crimson Tide on their first Final Four appearance in school history. I can honestly say that I never expected this based on how the season was going, but especially the end of the season. But I am so excited and so proud of this team. I saw one of the players say that, you know, what kind of changed everything for them was when Alabama's coach, Nate Oates, brought in the softball coach, Patrick Murphy, in to come and speak to the team. Coach Murphy preaches the concept of Medita to his team. Medita is the concept of vicarious joy in others' accomplishments as if they were your own. So Mark Sears, probably the biggest star on Alabama's team, really exemplified this Medita during the game against North Carolina. Nate Oates was trying to get the ball. He was drawing up a play during a timeout, and it was a pretty clutch moment. Sears said, "Hey man, get the ball to Grant Nelson." Grant Nelson was having the game of his life against Carolina. Now, Nelson transferred from North Dakota, and he was supposed to come in and be a superstar, but he really had his share of struggles coming in from North Dakota to the SEC. Sears was so happy for Nelson, and even though that would take the glory away from Sears, he asked Coach Oates that the ball go to Nelson. I remember watching this play. Nelson made the shot, and Sears was one of the first guys over to congratulate him. I am so proud of this team, and so proud that they have come together and been able to demonstrate such selfish behavior, and now we're in the Final Four for the first time in school history. Now, we're going to transition to why we're really here, which is football. So, Tuesdays are normally the days that we catch up on all the news. There's been so much going on, and it's really, really hard to cover it all. So what I'm going to do is going to be a little bit different than what we've done in the past. I was actually reading a Bleacher Report article this past weekend about, you know, the teams and their positions of need before free agency began. And, you know, the whole point of this is NFL draft coverage. And so I wanted to assess what each team needed before free agency and just to kind of point me in a direction of where they might be going in the draft. So today we'll go ahead and we'll cover the positions of need for the NFC. And then tomorrow we'll go ahead and do the AFC. So that's what we'll be doing this week. And then Michael, you know, he's unable to podcast this week, but he did send me some of his mocks. So we will be going over that on the other 2 days this week. So let's go ahead and let's start with the NFC North. All right, so the first team that we're going to look at is the Chicago Bears. According to Bleacher Report, their positions of need are wide receiver, corner, and center. I don't know why exactly Bleacher Report did not put quarterback as a position of need, but I find it very interesting. But I think it may be in part because it's been almost a foregone conclusion since before August of last year that the number one team this year was going to take Caleb Williams, and that team just so happened to be the Bears this time around. So that may be why they didn't put it on there. The Bears, in addressing their needs, they picked up Keenan Allen in a trade with the Chargers. They signed Coleman Shelton at center, and they re-signed Dante Pettis and Jalen Johnson. Now, Keenan Allen is getting on up there in age for a receiver. I'm not sure that the Bears have truly addressed their positions of need. Their moves feel like a win now type of deal, and I think that's putting too much faith in someone who's never taken an NFL snap in his life. I think the Bears think that they're ready to compete, but I am not so sure. The Detroit Lions are next on the list. Their listed positions of need are corner, edge, and guard. They have attacked all of these options with pretty dynamic options so far in the free agency period. They signed Graham Glasgow and Kevin Zeitler as guards. They signed Marcus Davenport on the edge. And they've made a lot of moves at the corner position, signing Amik Robertson, re-signing Emmanuel Mosley, and trading for Carlton Davis. The Lions were so close to the Super Bowl. They were so close and they knew it. They're trying to keep their core. It looks like they're trying to keep their core intact and trying to finally get to the Super Bowl. I think keeping the core intact is a pretty good idea. This team is relatively young, so they could be dangerous for quite a while. The next team is the Green Bay Packers. Their positions of need, offensive tackle, safety, and center. They let one of their safeties, and Jonathan Owens, go to their intra-division rival, the Bears. That will be interesting to see how it works out for both sides there. The Packers have done nothing to upgrade their offensive line. This is very shocking to me. This podcast is called Going on a Tangent, so I can go on a tangent here, and I probably will a few times here. I genuinely don't understand the Packers and how they do things. With Aaron Rodgers, they never gave him the receivers to compete at a high level. With Jordan Love, they're not giving him the offensive line, although there were plenty of free agents that they could have gone for. But instead, they chose to just stay put with their current offensive line options. They signed Josh Jacobs at running back and Xavier McKinney at safety, two massive deals. Okay. Fine, I guess. I don't get it, and I don't think I would have made either of those moves if I was the GM of the Packers. They already had a good running core in A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. They didn't have a ton of cap space, so why didn't they re-sign Jonathan Owens, because he would have been cheaper than McKinney, and that allows them to take some of the money that they spent on McKinney and spend it to fulfill a bigger need in getting a Tyron Smith, a Trent Brown, a Donovan Smith. I believe Donovan Smith is still a free agent, by the way. I just don't get the Packers, and I think that they're doing Jordan Love a massive disservice. If he is the guy, build around him. I just don't understand what the Packers are doing. However, in their defense, after I just railed on them for a little bit, this is a pretty deep offensive line draft class, so I am interested to see if the Packers go heavy on drafting offensive linemen this year. Although with their track record of how they treated Aaron Rodgers and the receivers, I'm going to say they probably won't. The last team in the NFC North is the Vikings. Their positions of need are quarterback, edge, and running back. They lost Kirk Cousins to the Falcons. So quarterback is a massive position of need, especially considering they have one of the best receivers in the game in Justin Jefferson. If they want to keep Jefferson in Minnesota, they need to get someone really good to throw him the ball. So the person that they selected for that task, Sam Darnold. I know there's a lot of rumors right now that the Vikings are going to trade up in the draft and get one of the big three quarterbacks. Oh, well, okay, then. Right now, the quarterbacks on their roster are Sam Darnold, Nick Mullins, and Jaren Hall. None of those names strike fear into me if I am the opponent of the Vikings. Once again, just like Chicago, it feels like the Vikings are putting way too much faith in a young guy who they may or may not even draft, who has never played a snap in the NFL. The Vikings have done better, though, than other teams in their division at fixing their issues at other positions of need. They signed Aaron Jones. They did a lot to get better at the edge position. They signed Jonathan Grenard, Andrew Van Ginkel, and Jahad Ward. Now, the Vikings may not be able to move the ball down the field offensively, but they should be able to stop other people from doing the same. So let's go ahead and let's shift to the NFC East. And we start with the Dallas Cowboys. And boy, howdy, I feel another tangent coming on. I didn't even have to look at the Bleacher Report article because I knew off the top of my head exactly what the Cowboys need. Offensive line help and defensive line help. Bleacher Report agrees. They lost Tyron Smith. They have been mentioning for a while that they need someone to play alongside Micah Parsons. Leighton Van Der Esch retired. Yet the Cowboys have done nothing. They have done practically nothing on the free agent market and have certainly done nothing to address their needs. What I don't understand is how they could let Dak down like this. I feel like Jerry Jones has really killed Dak's career. Honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing Dak leave Dallas and go somewhere where they're in desperate need of a quarterback, like Minnesota maybe, where I feel like he could be given a legitimate shot. I feel like Minnesota would make the moves to help Dak succeed because Jerry Jones surely won't. Dak is an injury-prone quarterback, and his best moments have been when the Cowboys have had a strong offensive line. So what does Jerry Jones do? First, he gets rid of one of Dak's better weapons in Amari Cooper for peanuts. Then he slowly deconstructs the monster offensive line that Dak had. I'm not really a Cowboys fan, but I am a Dak fan, and I just hate what Jerry Jones is doing in Dallas. I have no idea what the Cowboys are going to do in the draft. I just know that it's probably not going to be very logical to me. The next team in the NFC East is the Giants. They lost a huge piece of their offense when they lost Saquon Barkley. Their biggest needs are offensive line and wide receiver. Man, they signed quite a few people. Jermaine Eluemunor, Matt Nelson, John Runyon, Aaron Stinney, and Austin Schlottman, all to improve their offensive line. They also signed Isaiah McKenzie at receiver. These are fair pickups for the Giants, nothing huge, but they are making small moves to improve their team. I think that they're a little bit hampered by the salary cap, so maybe they're slightly improved, but not a whole lot. The next team up, the Eagles. The Eagles, their positions of need are all on defense. Corner, safety, and linebacker. And honestly, they should just go and get all of the Georgia people, right? Because that's how they're building their defense. Now, personally, I really, really like what the Eagles have done at linebacker. They signed Zach Bond, and I really wanted the Broncos to sign him. I'm a big Broncos fan, in case you didn't know. And Zach Bond was really, really high on the list of players that I wanted. They also got Oren Burks, Jalen Okora, and Devin White. These are all very solid pickups to help their linebacker core. They have a really dynamic offensive line, but once you got past those guys, you could do whatever you wanted against the Eagles' defense. And these pickups make their front seven seem a lot more formidable. They signed Tyler Hall at corner and C.J. Gardner-Johnson at safety. I think that Gardner-Johnson coming back is better for team chemistry than it is necessarily for on-field production. It just seemed to me, watching, that the Eagles' defense had way better chemistry when Gardner-Johnson was playing. And it was interesting to see them without him, and I think that they can be a much better team with him on the field. Not necessarily because of the talent he brings or the stats he brings, but because of the chemistry. And honestly, I would hate to be any of the other NFC East teams trying to do anything against that front seven. The Eagles are making some solid moves trying to stay at the top of the NFC. By the way, They also signed Saquon Barkley. They are going all in. All in. The last team in the NFC East are the Commanders. So their positions of need are listed at quarterback, edge, and guard. Now, why the Commanders were listed as a team needing a quarterback, but the Bears weren't, even though both teams are expected to draft a quarterback in the first round, is something I don't understand about this Bleacher Report article. Nevertheless, the Commanders signed Marcus Mariota at quarterback. They signed Nick Allegretti at guard and Cleveland Farrell, Dante Fowler Jr., and F.A. Obada at edge. I don't know how I feel about these defensive pickups for the Commanders. Maybe these guys just needed a fresh start and they will surprise me and do better in Washington. But as of right now, I'm not terribly impressed by these signings. It seems like the Eagles are the only team that's in the NFC East that is actually trying to get better right now. So let's go ahead and let's move on to the NFC West. And we'll start here with the Arizona Cardinals. Their positions of need in that article are corner, defensive line, and wide receiver. They signed Sean Murphy Bunting at corner, Justin Jones, Bilal Nichols, and Kyrus Tonga at defensive line, and Chris Moore at receiver. A lot of these are one-year deals, so it tells me that Arizona is not too certain about these moves, and I'm not either. I guess points for trying, I don't know, but I'm not really liking their moves so far. Next is the Los Angeles Rams. Their positions of need, corner, edge, and quarterback of the future. Matt Stafford is 36, so unless he pulls a Tom Brady, you don't expect him to be playing for much longer. So what the Rams did is they signed Jimmy Garoppolo to a one-year deal. This does not make sense to me at all. Jimmy G is suspended 2 games for violating the NFL's rules about performance-enhancing substances. And because this is a one-year deal, I don't see how this addresses their need for a quarterback after Matt Stafford. I don't understand. The Rams signed Tre'Davious White and Darius Williams to help fill the gap at corner, but haven't done anything to upgrade their edge position. They also lost Leonard Floyd in free agency. The next team on the list is the 49ers, the team that lost the Super Bowl in one of the more wild Super Bowls ever. Their positions are guard, defensive line, and corner. They signed John Feliciano to help on their offensive line. And I think he's going to come in and compete immediately for a starting role. But that'll be interesting to kind of see how the offensive line plays out in San Francisco. They've also made a few moves to upgrade the defensive line. They traded for Malik Collins. They signed Jordan Elliott. And they signed Kevin Givens. They also signed former Denver Broncos corner Isaac Yiadom. I don't know how to say his name, to a one-year deal. None of these are major moves, maybe except for Feliciano. But honestly, they didn't really need to make any major moves. They were so close to winning the Super Bowl, and while they have lost a couple people in free agency, they're making solid signings to replace them. So I think the Niners are in a really good spot in the NFC to go back to the Super Bowl. They're definitely going to be facing competition in the Lions and the Eagles. But I think the Niners are in a fairly good position. The final team in the NFC West is the Seattle Seahawks. They need guard, linebacker, and quarterback of the future. And I think quarterback of the future was kind of on their mind when they traded for Drew Locke in that Russell Wilson trade, but he did not show much potential in that regard while he was in Seattle. And now Drew Locke is in New York looking like he's going to be the backup for Daniel Jones. How crazy is that? The Seahawks did trade, though, with the Commanders for Sam Howell. So it'll be interesting to see if Sam Howell can fit into their system and be successful and be an eventual replacement for Geno Smith. I do think that Sam Howell is a much better fit for their system than Drew Locke was, but it'll be interesting to see if he will be able to succeed at the NFL level. The Seahawks also lost Bobby Wagner in free agency to, funny enough, the Commanders, so their need for a linebacker is probably a little bit more pronounced than it has been in the past. Well, that's arguable. But they signed Jerome Baker and Tyrell Dotson to try to pick up where Bobby Wagner left off. Honestly, though, to me, Wagner hasn't quite seemed the same since, what was it, the Legion, I think it was called the Legion of Boom. He hasn't really seemed the same since those days, so I don't think that as far as numbers are concerned, losing Wagner is going to be a massive loss for the Seahawks. But it seemed like having him was a huge emotional boost to the team, so it'll be interesting to see if Baker and Dotson can help with the team chemistry as well as perform on the field. The Seahawks have not addressed their position on the offensive line, but there should be some very intriguing prospects available when they draft. All right, so last division for today. The NFC South. We'll start with the Falcons. Bleacher Report says their greatest positions of need are quarterback, edge, and receiver. The Falcons took care of their quarterback issue in a very, very big way by signing Kirk Cousins to a massive deal. They also traded Desmond Ridder to the Cardinals, so right now it looks like it's all on Kirk's shoulders, and he doesn't really have a lot of competition in the quarterback room. He has such dynamic skill players surrounding him. The Falcons have Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson. And although it seems like I'm seeing more and more people lately that seem like they're giving up on Drake London, I'm not ready to give up on him yet. And I still think he can be a very dynamic playmaker in Atlanta. The Falcons, though, they did throw quite a few darts at the board. Though, in trying to get a receiver, they signed Ray-Ray McCloud, Kadarrell Hodge, Darnell Mooney, and they got Rondale Moore in the Desmond Ridder trade. That was a player-for-player trade, and that is very strange in the NFL. Desmond Ridder for Rondale Moore. They have not yet addressed their need at edge, but I would not be shocked to see them go edge or maybe defensive line with their first-round pick this year. The next team is the Carolina Panthers, and they need basically everything, especially on offense, especially wide receiver. Bleacher Report's article, it narrows their needs down to wide receiver, edge, and tight end. The Panthers, they traded Brian Burns away to the Giants, but the Panthers seem to be abnormally good at scouting defensive talent, so I'm not terribly worried about them finding someone to come in and play in Brian Burns' place. They did sign Kayvon Kaysen, DJ Wonnum, and Jadeveon Clowney to play edge, so they signed some pretty big names to play edge for them. They traded with the Steelers for Deontay Johnson, and they signed David Moore for receiver, but they haven't done anything to address tight end. This Panthers offense still seems to be in shambles. Deontay Johnson, David Moore, and honestly, I can't think of any other receiver for the Panthers right now. Maybe Bryce Young is the most talented quarterback ever. I'm not saying he is, but maybe he is. But it doesn't really matter when he's got no one to throw to. And he has no time to throw. Bryce has only played 1 year in the NFL on one of the worst teams I have ever seen. Okay, Cooper. So I'm not ready to say he's a complete bust, but Carolina gave up way, way too much for Bryce. A team can probably get away with that if they're just a quarterback away from competing for a Super Bowl. But the Panthers were much more than just a quarterback away from competing for a Super Bowl. And now Bryce Young has to live with the consequences. And I hate that for the guy. The Saints are the next team on the list. They need offensive line help and edge help. They have to be in the worst salary cap position of any team in the NFL. So it's not like they have a lot of money to throw at good free agents who can help the team. And honestly, they really haven't. They haven't addressed any of their needs. And instead, they spent their limited funds on, listen to this list, okay? Chase Young, Jonathan Abram, Tyrann Mathieu, and Nathan Peterman. Chase Young gets injured all the time. He's good when he's healthy, but when you have such little money, I don't get the move. Jonathan Abram is an extremely hard-hitting tackler, but he gets injured because he doesn't hit the offensive player the right way. Tyrann Mathieu is really getting older, and the value you get from him playing isn't worth spending the minuscule amount of financial resources you have on Tyrann Mathieu. And all of these signings bother me. But Nathan Peterman bothers me the very most. Another tangent incoming. How is this guy still getting signed to NFL teams? He is the worst quarterback I have ever, ever seen. Quarterbacks with better NFL stats are playing in the UFL right now. Listen to this, all right? This is going to be your data analysis for this week. Over his career, Peterman has attempted 160 passes. That's over his NFL career. He has attempted 160 passes. How many have been intercepted? 13. So basically, he gets picked off about every 12th or 13th pass attempt. AJ McCarron. He is currently the quarterback for the St. Louis Battlehawks in the UFL. He has 179 career NFL passing attempts. And he has 3 interceptions. 3! So we're going to average it out. AJ McCarron was getting picked off every 60th pass attempt. It's ridiculous. I just don't understand how Nathan Peterman can still find employment in the NFL. It makes no sense to me, especially on a team that has such little cap space as the Saints. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. The last team for the division and the last team for the day is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Their positions of need, according to this article, are corner, center, and linebacker. They signed Bryce Hall and Tavier Thomas at corner, and they re-signed Lavonte David at linebacker. Other than that, they haven't really done much to address their needs. And I think this is a major issue for the Bucs when the Falcons look like they're gearing up to take over the division. This division used to be a cakewalk. It's not going to be a cakewalk anymore if Kirk Cousins can stay healthy for Atlanta. The Bucs did re-sign Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, and Winfield Jr., so solid moves there, but they have got to make a big splash in order to stay relevant in the NFC South. Atlanta is right up behind them. The Panthers don't look like they're doing a whole lot. The Saints surely are not doing a lot. the Falcons have an incredible offense, and I think the Buccaneers are going to need to do a little bit more in order to stay competitive in the division. I really, really like their re-signings, but I really think I need to see a little bit more from Tampa Bay in order to be convinced that they will be able to retain the division title. And that's it for today, and tomorrow we will be looking at the AFC team's biggest needs, and talk to you then.